Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
It's August 1st.
I know. Isn't that crazy? How is this happening to us?
Mm-hmm. Where
it seems like
It seems like we're 6 months into the show.
I know. And it seems like the New Year's retreat was about 5 years ago. So, you know, that place up on the one hand, how could it be August 1st already? And then, my gosh, Christmas was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Christmases, cats seem to go on the principle that it never does any harm to ask for what you want. How does it happen that we go from the relentless, can I have a cookie, can I have a cookie, can I have a cookie of the small child, to the, it's not okay to say what I want, so many adults suffer with. Even if there's no one to ask, no boss or other authority figure, there's often an embarrassment or shame, a feeling of unworthiness that keeps a person from expressing what they wish or long for. It's true that the Buddha taught that desire is the root cause of suffering, and yet Jesus said, ask and you will receive. How can both be true? Perhaps there's a clue for us in that question we're perpetually exploring in awareness practice. Who's asking? Ego desires come from an illusion of separation, seeking what life is not offering. The heart's desire springs from a longing to be at one with life. Today, let yourself ask for what you want and pay close attention to see if the desire is coming from the ego or the heart. Record and listen. Here's our first caller, Sherry. You're
all
now
right,
live on the air.
You.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Ren from South Florida. Hi.
Hi, Ren.
Hi, Ren.
How
are
you?
What are you seeing?
Well, not necessarily about cats, but I started the Enneatype email class, and right away, you know, before like 20 seconds passed, I was like, oh, I have to get this done. I have to get it done right. Sherry's going to be reading this. You know, ego's like yammering on, you've got to focus. You're going way too long. Where's the word count? You know, and then I said, okay, calm down. That's not the point.
This is not helpful. Although, Ren, it is kind of the point that you're seeing it.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
And
yes.
And the part that I saw that, you know, ties into the cat thing and asking for what you want is I noticed that I a lot of times really, really want that affirmation, you know, from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I need that from other people? I just give that to myself through the form of recording and listening and the mentor. And so that was
That's such
a big moment for me.
Yeah. And, you know, if there are people in your life that you suspect love you as close to unconditionally as people can do, you know, given that even if we do love somebody unconditionally, it doesn't mean we're always successful at letting them know that.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, one of the things that can be very helpful is to say, okay, I really need some praise here. I really need for you to acknowledge what a fabulous job I just did with Haha. So would you mind telling me, and then tell them what you want to hear?
Yes.
And people, I mean, you'll get them at the right time, right? You won't ask somebody to do that when they just walked in from a hideously stressful day at work and they've been stuck in traffic, and that would not be a good time. But when, you know, when you're there together and just tell people what it is that that you need to hear. And it's the asking for that. First of all, you've already received it, or you wouldn't be able to ask for it. And then you ask for it, And there's just delight in receiving it again from somebody else. And what it will confirm, of course, is that process is nice, it's fun, it's loving, it's kind, but you're right. You don't need it from somebody else. It only is lovely after you've already given and received it within your.
And not to feel like a shame, like, oh, I want that, just to have the awareness, oh, okay, that is something that would make my heart feel better. So let me give that to myself and acknowledge that that is a part of, you know, how I am, and that's fine.
That's right. And it's how we are. So when we're little kids, I don't know if this was true for you when you were little, but for a lot of little kids, you know, you draw something in school, and you're encouraged to bring it home, right? And mom and dad put it up on the refrigerator, you know, and because to you it's just the most beautiful thing in the world. And, of course, you know, they're gently asking, so is that our house? Because they're pretty sure it's a house. But
yeah,
so tell me about your picture, right? But there's no self-consciousness. There's no, I did this beautiful thing, and you're going to love it, and here I'm going to show you. I'm going to give it to you because it's a great gift. And it's that kind of innocence and presence and non-separation that we're going for as adults, not that self-conscious voice saying, well, you can't ask for that, or you can't have that, or that's not okay, or that's egocentric, or whatever that voice is saying.
Right, like the embarrassment voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Thank
and
you,
then,
Ren.
Thank
was
you so
more?
Much. Oh, well, I was just going to mention one other thing which had to do with dreams. I had like another aha moment because I keep having these recurring dreams where I'm in school but I didn't finish one class, or I can't find my schedule, or I'm teaching school and I'm going
show
and
that for the
for
final
years.
Naked or mhm.
Yeah, for
I'm
years.
Taking, I'm
and
taking
I,
a final in that class that I'd never attended. Mm-hmm.
Right. I finally saw the process of, this dream is saying, okay, there's something not quite right, and I can't put my finger on it. And then all I have to do is wake up. Literally, when I wake up and breathe, I'm like, oh, okay, none of that matters. And how that's such a good metaphor for what we're doing in practice.
Yes, yes. So there's that underlying karmic anxiety, right, that's telling us all kinds of crazy stories all the time. We can just drop it and come right back here to the breath. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
What a gift. All right. Thank you, Ren.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ren. You know, Sherry, there was something about that conversation that was really important, which was that place of, I would like some appreciation or acknowledgement or approval is an expression of what we might need in a particular place, and then the ability to recognize that it's what I need to pick up the recorder and give it to myself is a wonderful place of receiving what it is that I want. And if there is a story that it's not valid to get it from the recorder, it's only valid to get it from someone else. And you can't ask that person to give it to you because that would mean that they don't love you to be present enough to your need to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is an interesting place to look at because as we were looking at in the workshop on Sunday, that wanting something keeps alive the process of wanting. If you receive what you want and there's a no to that because it has to be in a particular form, that's just conditioning, keeping the wanting alive.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and it's such a setup, isn't it? So I'm identified in a place of inadequacy or whatever it is, and so I come to you and say, so I did such and such, and I'm wanting you to say, oh, good job, Sherry, that was great, that was fabulous, but you don't know that, and it's all set up by egocentric karmic conditioning to say it in a way that you're not going to get, to make it unclear, to be sure that you don't respond in the way I want, and the whole thing is designed to reconfirm there's something wrong with me, I'm lacking, you know, the whole karmic story that goes with that. So, yes, when I turn to the mentor, turn to the recorder, I'm here, I'm at center, I've got everything I need, then I can go to you in that way that I was suggesting with Ren and say, okay, tell me what a great job I did on such and such. You could say blah, 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 blah. And it becomes like a game. It's light and it's fun, and it really takes the power away from those voices.
Mm-hmm. It switches the process from wanting to having.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got my cake. Now I want some icing on it. Okay? And I can trust you to give it to me. I am not going to ask somebody who is not going to go to that same playful, oh, yeah, I know how that feels, place with me. I'm not going to do that because that's the ego setup for failure.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Yes.
Yeah, you sound good. In fact, if you said from next door, I would have said, oh, hi, what are you doing next door? Yeah, you sound good.
That's perfect. It's really wonderful to get through. I've been listening to all the radio shows, some of them live and some, recorded, but sort of within hopefully, you know, sort of 10 hours of them being recorded. I've been enjoying Project Joy so much.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
This is, so you don't have to get up at 2 a.m. To join us. We can
That's
have tea
right.
with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I've really enjoyed the cats. This particular one has fitted with what I've been actually looking at just very recently with my Zen Awareness coach. So I've really enjoyed looking at it. How I've been looking at it and how I saw it today is... expecting other people to do what they should know that I need or want, and getting mm-hmm. upset and bitter when I'm slogging my guts out and they're not doing their part. And so I've been...
they didn't get the script, right? They didn't get the script, and so they're not...
Yeah.
They don't have their lines, and they're failing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and it's what I've seen is that that is a horrible feeling. It's really horrible. All of it is horrible, and life is joyful, and that is not. And it's such a waste of time, such a waste of precious time. And so what I've been seeing is that, well, if I'm doing too much. So initially, say if I'm doing too much, I give myself what I need. I give myself what I need and don't, and stop and take a rest and take a break and ask people I need help with this or I need help with that. But for me, this
or
is
do you want me to do this even, right?
That's
if
right.
If I'm
yes.
doing too much, I, just yeah. stopping to check out. Now, I'm doing this for you. Do you really... I'm tired,
yeah.
but I'm doing this for you because I love you. But
yeah.
do you really need me to do it? And often they'll say, no, I don't need you, especially if you're tired. God, no.
I know. Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. For me, this particular theme has been so radical because it's just felt really exciting because it's like a whole new life. So at lots of points throughout the day, I'm sort of saying... What do you need, Anna? And you know, to the mentor on recording, what do you need now? What do you need now? And it's amazing. It's wonderful. And it just stops ego dead, and it stops all those painful feelings dead. And it's me. It's just amazing. I think, you know, it's like, oh, wow.
Right. Well, so simple, so easy when we catch on to it, right? Before
yeah.
we catch on to it, great, great mystery. You know, the other thing that reminds me of. When you say that, is that kind of humbling moment of realizing, as much as people miss the mark for me, I'm missing the mark for them. You know, the same voices in my head that would point out how they're, you know, they're not being sensitive and they don't care how I feel and they're not noticing this and that, are failing to point out the fact that I am missing their cues. I'm only doing what the voice in my head says they need. I don't know what they need. I don't know if this is helpful.
And that's the thing at the end of it, that surprise at the end of it or whatever. So I've looked after myself, I'm happy, and now I can ask them what they want.
Yeah. From a really clear, all my needs are met place.
Yeah.
And from a great willingness to, just a great desire for all beings to be happy. Is there anything I can assist with? Is there anything you need? Is there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is just wonderful. So that is the icing on the cake.
Yes.
So wonderful.
Exactly.
Yes. So thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Thank you
very
to you, Miss Winnie. And
thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Yeah. Wow, that is so true, isn't it, Cherry? That we could all take care of our own needs. And then we can be so much more supportive of each other.
Yes. Yeah, because we want to. Because we just choose to. Not from all these unconscious, unmet needs and confused expectations and all that ego stuff going on.
Yes. Well, what drops in is truly what the assignment is pointing at. Because when we're in ego, needs, how needs are met, how desires are fulfilled, what is it that it's all so conditioned and so opposite to how it really works, which is why it causes us to suffer so much.
Yeah. So that's why we're moving from the conversation conditioned mind to the communication book that we're working on, right? Because all of this is communication, everything we've been talking about so far, and all the suffering that comes from, you can't say that. You can't let anybody know that. Well, why? Why can't I? You know, if we're people who get to the point of being able to, you know, my daughter and I are together and we're going to go out to dinner, why can't I say? You know, I'd love to have Mexican food. If she says, oh, not me, I've had Mexican food for the last three meals, I would love to have Middle Eastern food. Okay, good. It's not a rejection, right? It's not personal. It's just I've said what I would like, she said what she would like, and then we both look at, well, maybe we'll have pizza.
Yeah, or we go to a food court where Mexican and Mediterranean are both available.
We can take out.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Anne from England.
Oh, for heaven's sake. How
we're
lucky
not
are
together.
We?
We're not in the same room. We're counties apart.
This is great.
Yeah, it's great. It's really marvelous. And I feel like the whole, let me breathe here for a second. My heart's racing. Take a second. Yes, I feel like what's been described on the show is a workshop that has been my life in the last week. And starting off with looking to others for reassurances and to have my needs met. Looking at how ego bamboozled me into that, to actually just working with awareness practice and attention and just paying attention to it all and actually knowing, deep, really, really knowing that I have that all inside of me. And
when you were saying that, I just had this image of you, me, all of us, going around through the day and attention is going to be on something, right? So, of course, my favorite is I choose unconditional love. But it can also be interspersed with, you know, you're a great person. That was a great job. I love the way you said that. That was really great. That was good. I know you didn't want to do that, but you did it anyway, and you were charming, by the way. You know, why not? Why not? If only we know what we need to hear.
Yes.
What would make our heart sing? What would cut ego off at the pass? And so why not offer that? That's that place of, you can't do that. That's so egocentric. No, actually, it's the opposite of egocentric.
Yeah. Yeah. And what this practice has shown me more than anything else is that compassion and kindness for the human is the most important thing, no matter what. And
no matter what.
Yeah.
And when we're doing that, there's a tendency to do that with everybody.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
So, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just that if I'm hearing things like, that was a great job. You worked really hard on that. That was fabulous. You're a kind person. Then when I'm with you, the tendency is to say the same things to you, because that's the world I live in. That's what I'm noticing.
Yes, because then instead of projecting out, you can't meet my needs, or you're not meeting my needs. You're meeting them yourself, and then you can actually see what's real. And the illusion just falls away because it's just an illusion.
Yeah, and there's nobody giving any attention to it.
No.
Right, the negativity is gone because nobody's giving any attention to it.
Yeah, and it's like the experience for me was like something just fell away, and what I could see underneath it was just fear. Fear of, just fear. It's just like fear just... in a way that is just like it's almost unbearable to feel the sensations, but because I know that I can be with myself, that I'm not going to abandon myself, I know that it's okay.
Yes. And then what we get to see is that fear is just ego.
Yeah.
So that conversation that we were in, you know, if the conversation to you is, it's okay. You don't need. There's nothing to be afraid of. We're fine. I'm right here with you. We're doing great. Look at all the good things that are happening. It's fine. Okay. Then that's where the attention is, and that's what the life experience is. And the fun part about that, to tie it together, like say, you know, you're my boss, and I really, really want your approval. And I want to know that you think I'm doing a good job. So when I know I'm doing the best job that I can do, and that my only desire with this job is to do an even better job, then all my needs are met, and I can actually give you what I want from you.
Yeah. Yeah. That seeking approval. Yeah, that seeking approval is the key, isn't it? It's like, why do I need to seek approval? I can ask for what I want, or I can just give it to myself, and then ego doesn't torment me between switch from one to the other.
That's right. And we can realize, well, everybody feels the same way.
Yeah.
So the person that I want X from probably wants X as well.
Yeah.
So let's turn it around and start giving what we want, and realize that process of giving what we want is the way to fulfill that desire.
Yeah. But sometimes, just to reiterate what you just said, giving what you want, sometimes you have to give that to yourself first before you're able to give it to the other person.
That's right.
Because if you just give it to the other person, then you're constantly not giving that to yourself, and it just depletes you and... doesn't, in the long run, doesn't really help.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Until we get to the point where it's all one thing.
It's all one thing, yeah.
Giving and receiving are, because it's all coming from an open-hearted, compassionate place. So I'm there, you're there. You know, if you come from that place with me and I can feel the sincerity, the depth and sincerity of what you're offering me, then I you actually pull me into that. It's only for a second, right? I'm there with you in that place.
Because I at work sometimes when I see colleagues struggling, I'll say to her, I can see that you might need some help now, even though I might be finding it difficult, the energy. I can see you need some help now, and that stops me from thinking, oh, you always want something, that kind of feeling. I can see you're struggling, how can I help? And the response you get is just like, whoa, someone recognizes that I'm struggling and has asked me. And
someone
so then the energy
cares about me.
Someone cares about me.
They're seeing me. Yeah,
they really see me. And then the energy changes and you're both supporting each other. And it's been a workshop.
Yes, we are in a workshop. Life is a workshop, isn't it?
But Project Joy has really spoken to it lately, I feel. So it's really like life. I feel really supported by that. But it's just a lot. This has come up about approval and fear and standards. And it's like layers upon layers and layers. And they just seem to be just peeling away. So I'm really grateful to everyone and to you and Ashwini. It's just been so supportive. And
oh, good. I'm so glad.
I'm very appreciative.
To hear that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, I'm determined to finish this show on time, so I'm going to get another caller on the phone, and then hopefully we can wrap up with our assignment. So here we go.
We'll talk fast. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura. Hello, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
We can talk fast, can't we?
We can.
What's going
so
on?
I've been really practicing with not planning, and it's not even that I plan to plan. It's just I'll be driving and or walking around or sitting or whatever, and there's that conversation of what to talk about. So what was really fun is just the butterfly, kind of that the wind kind of pulling the butterfly. With everybody's conversation, I would go right there. Mm-hmm. I was just like, well, whatever drops in to talk about if I get unmuted, I'll talk about. And so the piece that I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude around all the retreats that I get to say yes to in practice. And, just reading the Enneagram class this morning was just mind blowing, like, wow. So I'm really looking forward to that. I signed up for the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat a while ago. And one of the things I want to say about that is that it is revealing so many aspects of karma that have wreaked havoc in my life. And the retreat itself, content-wise, has nothing to do with it, but it because of the structure of the retreat, it's just allowing, like, it's so kind in that way, in that it's bringing up all of these places, whether it's with relationship or, right, the karma of insecurity or doubt or whatever it is, it's just, like, right there in my face because I'm saying yes to it, and I'm so grateful that it's getting uncovered in a way that I've been looking, quote, personal development, growth, spiritual practice, however you want to talk about it, for a really long time. And
So if I may,
please.
So there are some people, and we'll talk about it this way, and I'll talk fast too, that we have a karma to devote our lives to awareness practice. Now, and there's this sense of, I can see that, so if we just talk about it in Buddhist terms, you know, there's suffering, I don't want to suffer. There's a way not to suffer, I want to do that. Now, that's not a big motivation for a lot of people. It never even occurs to them, you know. And I talk about that as people who just want their karma. You know, they They just want to have the experience of whatever that karma is. And that's fine. But there are some people with a karma to blow through karma. And so for you, I happen to know you're married, you have children, you have a full-time career. It's not like you're going to say, "Ciao, kids, I hope college is good for you," and go off to the monastery. You're not going to do that. And so what you're doing is arranging your life such that you are in pretty much full-time awareness practice in the world.
Yes.
Right?
And that,
you know, so the voices will say, "Well, you can't do all that stuff. I mean, how can you do all that stuff? You're too busy." Well, it depends on what you want.
Yep.
You are too busy. You are too busy if your highest priority isn't blowing through karma and ending suffering. But if it is, then you're going to arrange your life in the world so that everything in your life is a part of awareness practice. You're not doing the thing of, "Okay, well, I can go on retreat and I can be on Project Joy, but then, you know, that's all the time I have because I've got the kids, I've got the husband, I've got the work, I've got the..." No, your work is awareness practice, your marriage is awareness practice, your kids are awareness practice, because all of it is happening in a context of awareness practice. So I think you know that. I don't know if it's ever been articulated quite that way. Mm. But that's what you're seeing with this. So Project Joy is one thing. Going beyond fear, resistance, and limitations is another. Going on retreat is another. You know, and yet it's a container that enables you to see every aspect of your life through the lens of awareness practice instead of through the lens of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. And it's a lot. It is. It's a lot. And most people don't want to do it. And that's fine. But for the people who do, it's available. We'll do it with you.
Yes. And to be continued, but the really cool thing is I feel like I've signed up for more and more and more and more, and in the beginning I would drop off halfway through or forget or whatever. And now that doesn't happen so much anymore. So that wasn't a problem that happened way back then. Right? There are so many things to just see in all of this, but it's really, but the signing up was part and doing however many I got in was part of the training.
Yes.
And I just kept showing up.
That's right. I always use running with you because I know you're running.
Yes.
We start off, we're not that good. that good runner. But if we stay with it, we will be.
Yep.
And the same way with practice. Right?
Yep.
It's the exact same process. We just keep showing up and we get better at it.
Yeah.
All right.
So grateful.
Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for showing up, you and Ashwini and everyone in Sangha.
Yeah, it's a good team.
Yep.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura.
How'd we do, Ashwini?
We did fabulously.
Okay,
we're
thank
only
you.
3 minutes over the 3 minutes.
That's what
over
I needed
time.
To hear.
Okay. All right, here's our assignment. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible.
Oh, that's what Laura was talking about.
If we play, if we pay close attention, we notice that resistance usually arises whenever we set out to do what's necessary to do. Whether it's time to do the taxes or take out the garbage or go to the gym or make that important phone call or sit down to meditate, there's a litany of reasons not to. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. It's the clarion call of an ego faced with participating in what's arising in life. We might get bamboozled into believing the statement, "I don't want to," has something to do with the content. It's too hard. It's boring. I don't know how. It will be unpleasant, etc. But with practice, we recognize the process in operation, aversion, one of what the Buddha calls the three poisons. If we simply respond to what is here to do, we don't suffer.
For suffering to exist, there must be a movement that resists what is. And in that resistance, avoidance, and aversion, the I that does not want to, that feels victimized by having to, that suffers anxiety, resentment, and fear as a result, gets created and maintained. From that orientation of no, all that is possible in life gets relegated to the realm of the impossible. What is impossible for ego? Presence, enjoying life unfolding. Today, bring enjoyment to doing what is arising in your life to do. Experience movement from necessary to possible to the joy of accomplishing what the ego argues is impossible. Record and listen.
Wow. Good one.
Good one. All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Go happy. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. See you mañana.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.